Praise God, church. Get your Bibles out this morning. And if you would, go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. Luke, chapter 4. Now, I know I've been here on this message for a long time, it seems like, but I want to go look at some things again, review some things here this morning. I've been preaching this whole message, this whole series now since the first of the year about how to get out of hell in 2012. And, you know, everything, listen, you got to understand something. The Bible says God's no respecter of persons. What he'd do for one person, he'd do for another. Is that right? So that means whatever he did for the Apostle Paul, he'd do for you. Whatever he did for Peter, he'd do for you. Right? Whatever he did for Billy Graham, he'd do for you. God doesn't have exceptions. He doesn't say, no, 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 I just want to bless that guy. I don't want to bless this guy over here. Y'all with me? I gotta tell this story. I shared this story yesterday with the men over the Tim's meeting, team meeting for Emmaus, but and I got to figure out how to phrase it right. But I was watching on television the other day, I was flipping down through the channels, and I came across the documentary channel. Now, a documentary channel is not something I usually watch, but the title of what was on there just caught my eyes. Because about a month ago, a person came to me and was talking about Liberia and wondering if I would go to Liberia with them. And I'm like, Liberia? I wasn't real sure where Liberia was, but I don't think it was a nice place, you know? And so I began to do some research on Liberia and found out, you know, like it's the worst country in Africa, just the filthiest, nastiest place. Everyone been in civil war forever, just, you know, murders, just rampant. Everything's just, you know, the worst. And I was like, Lord, why can't I ever get like an invitation to Fiji? Why or Hawaii? Why do people want me to go to Liberia? I mean, Lord have mercy, you know? And so, anyway, long story short, I did a bunch of research and I found out a bunch of the different things. And so, what caught my eye was that there was a general there, and he was in the main part of the Civil War there in Liberia, and he was crazy. You know, the guys that did drugs before they would go into the go into battle, and so they went in as just crazed lunatics. And this guy would go in with, you know, completely stripped, no clothes. And so I'm trying to figure out how to say what they called him, what his name was, and be nice this morning. I guess I can spell it, right? That's what you do when you don't. His name was General Butt Naked. And that's what was on the documentary when I saw it. I mean, you're like, how could you pass that up? And so I said, I got to see what this is about, you know. And so I went to look. And so I'd already studied about him, looked about him, did some research on him, because he was the most crazed lunatic that there was. And literally, he would drink the blood of babies before he would go into battle, and they were doing drugs. He would go in and just a vicious animal, okay? And guess what happened? He got saved. And the whole documentary was on how this guy is one of the strongest preachers of the gospel over there. And so I'm thinking... Okay, I got to see this, and you cannot imagine. I'm going to do some research and find out more about this guy. If he was going to preach here and the ferocity that he preached with, all of y'all would be in the back with your hand on your gun saying, if this guy is really of God, okay, but if he gets loose, we're going to cheat him, you know. I mean, this guy was scary. I mean, you know, just in the way he preached, but his whole message was that, look what God has redeemed. This is who I was. I'm sorry. But the most thing that got me, and I sat and wept as I watched it, because he went into refugee camps, and he would go into the refugee camps, and he would find the people whose families he had murdered. And he would go to them, and he would just, with tears, weep and cry and get them and just just hug them and pray for them. And they would come out and they would be angry and say, it's because of you. You know, I'm in this place and I've lost my family and I've lost everything and all the things that have happened to me. And it's been horrible. And he would just get them and hold them and just cry and just pray for them. And they would just break and weep. And he started these homes over there to bring people in and help them and to support them and to do all this kind of stuff. Okay. My point is the power of the redemption of Jesus Christ. A lot of times we just get numb to it as Christians. We just get numb to what's going on and we just go to church and we're not seeing God move like God wants to move in our lives. We're just going through the paces and going through the motions in life and praying a little here and hoping a little there and whatever. And that's not the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a powerful, redeeming, a victorious, life-giving gospel. It's real. It's not just something we do behind stained glass doors. It is an amazing, powerful thing that if we tap into the gospel, if we tap into what Jesus bled and died for on the cross, if we really get hold of it and really get it into our lives, it changes us and everyone around us. Other way to put it than that, okay? But in life, we run across situations in life, we run across problems in life, we run across catastrophes in life and things that make us mad because we live in a stinking, rotten, no good, fallen world. I don't know how we're going to get to heaven and not just look down on Adam and Eve. Say whatever you want to. It's going to be their fault. When I get to heaven, I just kind of want to look and say, what are you, stupid or what? We went through all of this because you had to go over there and mess with the blasted apple. Why didn't you just leave it alone? You should have jerked your wife back, popped her a good one, said, get over there. What are we talking about? Grabbed that snake by the tail and smacked his head up against the rock and said, bless God. Come on, Jesus. We're going to go live for God. So it should have happened, but it didn't. So we live in a fallen world. We live where things are not right. It never was what God intended. But God wants us to walk in authority, and he wants us to walk on this earth as men and women of God. He wants us to walk high with our heads held high. He wants us to walk in the power of the gospel. He does, church. And what happened to that general can happen in your life if you'll become a general of your life. And my point has been, the very first thing you've got to have a revelation of is you've got to have a revelation of who you are. You are not just some person, some minuscule person. You're not some organism that crawled up out of the sea years ago and now you're who you are. You didn't derive. Your uncle is not a monkey. You are a child of God, born again. The Bible says that you are a new creation, that when you confess Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, that he comes to live and dwell on the inside of you. And that power, the same power, Romans 8 says, that resurrected Jesus from the grave, comes and lives inside of you. Now, if we've got death knocking out grave power living in us, well then, folks, let me tell you something. We ought to be able to walk in some victory. I'm not saying we walk with no problems. I'm saying when the problem arises, we walk with victory. We walk into the middle of it and we come out on the other side. We may be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We may have to go into the fiery furnace, but we come out and it doesn't smell on us. And I will admit, even myself, I've had to walk through some things in life that I kind of smelled a little bit like complaining when I came out on the other end. I'm sure it never happened to y'all, but on the other side of the furnace I walked through, there was some complaining on the outside of me. I smelled a little bit, I had a little bit of the stink of complaint. A little bit of the stink of unforgiveness. A little bit of the stink of, you know, dadgum, why'd that happen on me? Hello? But we're supposed to come out on the other side and not smell like smoke. We got to walk through the fire. We got to walk through the smoke. But the only way we can do that is the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ alive in our lives. We've got to be overcomers. We've got to be more than conquerors. You got to know who you are. You got to know who you are on heaven, on earth, and in heaven. You got to know that God wants you to have dominion over your family and dominion over what's going on. But the only way you're going to take dominion is you got to take dominion in life by your confession. I've already gone over this also. I'm just reviewing here. You got to take dominion by your confession. You're not going to live in life and live a victorious life unless you get your confession lined up with the Word of God. Years ago, I wrote a book, How to Pray. Little bitty book. I don't like big books. I like big, little books because ain't nobody going to read a big book. A few of you will read a big book, but majority of you are going to read a book in the bathroom, so you got to make it short. So I like little books. And so I wrote a book on how to pray. Then a few years later, I wrote another little book on praying the Word. And then I put out another book called The Promises. And I have been trying to compile all those books together and to put it all together as one so that I can have a new print. We already got the cover done. We already got did. I was going to do it by December, and I didn't get it done. And I was going to do it by January. I didn't get it done. Now it's February. I didn't get it done. It's getting as bad as Ivan. You know, Ivan always says he's coming out with a new book, and you never see it. Because I keep looking at it, and I just keep saying, oh, my gosh, people have got to get this revelation. And I keep putting more in it, and I keep just doing more, and I keep turning it around, and then I keep saying, well, we need to put this here. And I was just telling my wife this morning, we got to get this book out. We got to hurry up and get it out because people need to know in life the simple basic things of how to pray and how to walk in the dominion of your confession. Folks, if you're not walking in life by quoting and confessing the Word of God over your life and your family, you listen to me, you're going to be defeated. Hello? You're going to be. If you're not living your life, waking up every morning and saying, Father, I thank you today that greater is he that's in me, it's in he that's in this world. I declare today I'm going to walk out there, but Lord, you said you're going to order my steps. You're going to prepare my way. You're going to make all my crooked paths straight. Thank you, God, you're with me. Thank you, I'm under the wings of the shadow of the Almighty. God, thank you that you're with me today and that whatever comes my way, bless God, you're going to be there with me. You got to walk like that, church. You say, well, that's just kind of a Pentecostal thing. It's a Christian thing. It doesn't have nothing to do with Pentecostal. It has anything to do with the Bible and the way that we're supposed to be walking. You say, well, you're a radical fanatical. Yeah, I am. Bless God, I am. Crazy as a loon for Jesus. Crazy as a loon for the Word of God and the Word of God's God. Listen to me. I will go down kicking and fighting, quoting the Word of God out of my mouth, speaking the Word of God out of my mouth, and they can write on my tombstone whatever they want to say. But bless God, this is the way I'm going down and ain't nobody going to change my mind. I'm right. They're wrong. I'm sold out, totally 100% convinced. You're not ever going to change my mind. There ain't no sense even dealing with me on this. Because I know it works. I've seen it work in my family. I've seen it work in my life. I've seen it work from going from poverty to some prosperity and to going from total every day of discouragement and despair to hope and victory by taking the Word of God and confessing and taking dominion over my family and my life. You got to do it, church. You got to do it. You got to know, listen, you got to know, what are you worshiping? Are you worshiping fear? You worshiping anxiety? You worshiping jealousy? You worshiping money? You worshiping work? You worship? What are you worshiping? You say, well, Pastor, I don't got no idols. Yes, you do. There's only supposed to be one God. He says he's a God, he's a jealous God, and he wants your worship. And what you've got to learn to do is take every day of your life and worship him in the middle of everything going on. Everything going on. The third thing is you got to know who you trust. Oh, us men, we're great on our strength, our ability, our knowledge. Yeah, we trust in us. I don't trust nobody else, but I trust me. Listen to me, you got to throw it all away and get hold of God and get trust in him. And the only way you're going to do that is by starting out in life with small experiences with him being faithful and then building to larger ones, because you can't go out and believe God. That's what happens every time. You can't, in the midst of the trial, when it hits you and comes upon you, then you start trying to trust God. It's too late. You don't have the faith for it. It's got to be a lifestyle of trusting him, a lifestyle of walking with him, a lifestyle of saying, well, wait a minute, I saw God do that. It's got to be a lifestyle, and you've got to start in the little things and then believe God for larger things. I'm telling you, if you're out working and you need a bolt, or you need a washer, or you need a nut, and you don't have one, and you don't want to have to go back to town for it, you need to stop and pray and say, God, I need this bolt. I got to get this figured out. And you just watch. Just pray. Just watch and see what God does. You got to believe him for that little bitty thing before you can believe him for something large. You got to find him. You got to see that God's faithful. Well, what are you talking about, a boat? Just go to town and get it. Your strength. He said, well, you're really crazy now. I am. I'm telling you. Because what are you going to do if there ain't no place to go get it? What are you going to do in the situations in life that you can't go make it happen? Those of you that have chickens, here you go. Here you go. We got chicken producers right here because I get eggs. I get the tithe, bless God, of the eggs. And so you get a believe God for your chickens to produce more eggs. You say, well, Pastor, that sounds kind of crazy. Why? If old Sally ain't giving you but one every other day, believe she's going to have one every day. Don't say, well, she's going to have 46 in the morning. I'm believing it for 46, Lord, in the morning. That's you've gone overboard. Ain't no chicken going to believe God for 46 eggs. He ain't going to do it. Are y'all with me? You got to be in realms of rational. If you're believing, listen, guys, if you're believing for your crops to produce X number, if that's what's the norm, believe for more. Set your sights to where you can see God move. You got to see him move. And when you see him move in your life, then all of a sudden, then you start to trust and you've experienced it, and that trust comes in you. And then all of a sudden you're built in your faith. And you say, well, no, God can do that. And it's not about can he do it, it's can you believe him to do it? How many times in the Bible somebody walked up to Jesus and said, Lord, you know, I'm blind or whatever. And he says, well, then according to your faith, be it done unto you. What if only one eye popped open? What if there were only one eye? And they said, well, bless God, just put a patch. At least got one. And that's where they stayed. They didn't get the other eye healed. Just think about that. Jesus says, what would you like from me? And you say, well, I'd like this, Lord. He said, okay, then according to your faith, be it done to you. And you only got half? You only had half faith, I guess. Look at the person beside you and say, I didn't ever think about that. When Jesus went to the house of Jairus and he went to his daughter, and everybody laughed, he says, well, she's not dead, she's just asleep. Well, to Jesus, in his perspective, looking at her asleep didn't make any difference. She's asleep in heaven or asleep on earth. He's just asleep. He didn't say where she was asleep. He just said she's asleep. And then everybody laughed at him, said, you don't know what you're talking about in a minute. You know, he had her up telling somebody to go in there and feed her. Are y'all with me? You know, it's funny. I think about these things all the time. You know, the first thing that happens is we all get to heaven after the rapture is we have, you know, a marriage supper. We have supper. You know, when Jesus is in the wilderness and he came out and he'd been tempted by the devil, then he was hungry. When Jairus' daughter, she got up, she's hungry. When Jesus came to the apostles and went into the house with them, he said, hey, you got anything to eat? I love it that we eat in heaven. I mean, it carries on through. You know, it's just like an earthly thing. You get to eat in heaven. I like that. That means barbecues. Right? Because you got to understand something. The Bible says, oh, taste, and see that the Lord is good. People get this crazy idea about heaven. I'm sidetracking here. Y'all have to get me back on in just a minute, but I'm hungry. And so, so I'm thinking this way. But you just get to thinking about it. All the things in heaven, it talks about eating. Eat the leaves of the trees, right? And there's eating, there's tasting. So that means it's got to be good. So that means the sense that we have right now of tasting something, you're like, oh my gosh, that is... That takes place in heaven magnified a million times. That to me is totally cool. I mean, that is just so cool. I mean, just get to get to heaven, belly up to the bar. Bring me some lamb, bless God. People think we're going to just go to heaven to sit around playing harps on clouds. They ain't got the slightest idea about nothing. Man, I'm going to a barbecue. I don't know where else going to. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble on this one, but it just popped in my head. I won't say it. He says, I'm not going to drink wine until I get with you in heaven. Oh. I'm just repeating what the Bible says. Heaven forbid. I don't know. He's serving wine. I'm drinking. Although I don't like wine. So maybe it'll taste good on that side. But y'all know what I'm saying. You see what I'm saying? The Bible says you get all stuck up and all these things, and I'm just telling you, that's not what the Bible says, man. We're going to a barbecue and serving wine. Jesus said it, not me. Point is there's more to life than what we put into it. We got to know who we trust in. We got to know who we walk with. We got to know who it is in life that we're putting all our faith in. And unless you see God moving in your life on a daily basis in the little things, I'm going to tell you something, you're not going to believe him when the catastrophes and the big things come. Preaching really good. You've got to start. You got to hangnail believe God for that thing to heal up. Start somewhere. Oh, well, I'll just put some cream on it. It'll be okay. Don't do that. Put some cream on it if you want to, but pray over it. Y'all with me? You got to start somewhere. You got to know what your dominion is. You got to know what you worship, and you got to know who you trust. And when you get those down on the inside of you, it gets solid and solidified, and it's down, and you got it, and you know, and you're not going to be moved. I want to tell you something. And then all of a sudden, you're just now starting to live for Jesus. You just got on the road. You're not there. You've not arrived. You just got into the principle he's talking about. You just got started. Say, yeah, I've been serving the Lord, you know, for 46 years. Been faithful every day. But where are you on your journey? What have you overcome? What have you conquered? What do you know in your heart that God would do? I'm not talking about you just got on the road 46 years ago. How far have you traveled down it? What's going on? What do you know? How many people have you saved? How many people do you witness to? How many people have you seen miracles happening? What have you done? What have you done, you know, in your walk, in your relationship? You with me? It don't make any difference the age and the time you've gotten saved. It's what you've been doing and how you've been growing. Hello? Look at the person beside you and say, I think he's talking about you. Okay, now, did you find Luke 4? Look over at let's start reading in verse 16. I shared this with you last week that we've got a mission now. Once you start on the road, now you've started walking this way, now you know who you are, you're taking dominion over your family, you're taking you know what you worship and you know in whom you trust, and you started on this journey, you've got to understand then the journey and the mission is really not about you, it's about others. It's not about you, it's about them. Y'all with me? It's about all the people you're going to come across in life as you're going down that road and down that journey, who you're going to run across that needs help from the experiences that you've learned and have overcome in life by what God's showed you. That's what you're doing now. Yeah, you're walking down this journey, and you can only help somebody if you yourself have been through it and overcome. Right? Only you can do to say to somebody, don't do that. I did it one time. It didn't work. It ended up bad. Don't do that. You've had to have done that, or have known somebody that did it, or have some experience in this matter. Y'all with me? So now you're on this mission, on this journey you're going through. God's dealing with you and working in you, and you're taking dominion. You're worshiping him. You're trusting in him. You're walking down this road, and then you're experiencing things in life, and then it's about those others you're running across. The other ones you can stop and say, hey, come here, listen, don't do that. I already did that once and it didn't work out, but this is what you need to do. And you help that person, you bless that person, you speak to that person, you take them to Jesus, you show them what he needs to do, and you get them on the journey going with you. Hello? So, in Luke chapter 4, start reading verse 16, it says, so Jesus was there as he'd been brought up, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of Isaiah, the prophet, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now just stop there for a minute. Jesus goes home to church. Everybody say he went to church. Jesus went to church. He went into church, and it says as his custom was. So he had a habit of going to church. Right? Listen to me. The thing that's going to keep you in life on the journey going is the habits that you make in God. If you have a habit of reading the Word of God, you have a habit of praying, habit of going to church, habit of reaching out to others, a habit of just calling people on the phone and saying, hey, listen, I was just thinking about you, just praying for you today. I don't care. Nowadays, you can be have a habit of texting people a word, texting people a scripture. You get a habit of that, you get a habit going. Those habits is what's going to keep you on that road. They're the guardrails on the journey and the road of life that keep you going the right direction. If your habits are, you know, every Tuesday you go crazy, you develop that habit, then you're going to want to take it to Wednesday, and then Thursday, and then Friday. I learned something the other day, and it works. Absolutely, it works. I was talking to a doctor we were talking about losing weight. We're talking about diets. We're talking about just trying to stay on what kind of foods to eat and what kind of foods not to eat, and this and that kind of stuff like that. And I was explaining to him, yes, all that you say out of your mouth sounds good, but it is a very difficult thing to do. And so then I attempted this and tried it and started having some victory and going along that. So we were having a discussion about it one day, and I said, yeah, man, I've done pretty well. I said, man, I slipped and cheated the other day, though. And he stopped me and he said, listen, Robert. He said, I don't ever hear you say that again. He says, you didn't cheat. So listen to me, don't say it like that, because when you say cheat, that means you feel guilty. And when you feel guilty, that's a negative response of what God would ever want you to do. He says, every once in a while, allow yourself to celebrate. My ears perked up. I said, now preach on, brother. I'm kind of liking this. Now, what are you saying? He said, yeah. I said, you don't want to say cheat, because cheat takes you into a place of guilt. He says, you want to put yourself in a place of joy. And so it's celebrate. So now I just say, okay, now what can I celebrate today? Glory to God. Let's see. Celebrate today. Well, I got up this morning. Glory to God. Let's celebrate. It changed the way I thought. When it changed the way I thought, it changed the way I actually looked at things. It gave me strength that I needed, that one little word that I needed to align some things in my life, because I looked at it differently. I wasn't operating in guilt, I was operating in joy. Big difference. Folks, listen to me. If you develop a custom that's a good one, it'll be the guardrails that keep you going on in life. But if you're driving down the road, I mean, like, just think about it. You can leave from here and you can go to Sabinow, and you can drive from Bar Ditch to Bar Ditch all the way down there, and you'll guess you'll eventually get down there, right? But it's a whole lot easier just to drive straight, right? We don't want to live life like that, from Bar Ditch to Bar Ditch. We got to develop some customs in our life. Jesus had a custom in his life. You got to develop some disciplines in your life and some customs in your life of some things. If you're going to read the Word of God, then read the Word of God. Develop it as a habit, as a custom, whether it's in the morning in bed before you, or the cup of coffee, or if it's in the evening, or if it's whatever. You develop this habit, you do it, and if you'll do it for 21 days, you'll have it for your whole life if you won't quit. But if you quit for 3 days, you'll lose it and it'll start all over again. It's the way it works. But you got to have some customs. So it says, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue, and he on the Sabbath day, he stood up to read, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Psalm said, he found the place where it was written of him. Now let me ask you this. Do you know what the Bible says about you? See, it goes back to having dominion. Who are you in life? If you can go open up the Bible and say, no, this is what it says about me right here. This is me. He said, well, I don't know about it. No, I'm just saying, come on. Don't discard everything and throw yourself out with the bathwater and say, no, I'm not. No, you're in the Bible. Every one of you are in the Bible. There's a word in here, every one of you in here that's in this Bible. Do you know where it's written about you? Do you know what the word says about you? And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even my faith. Oh, Lord, that's the place I've seen about me. I've got victory because I got faith in you. That's where it was written about you. Are you with me? 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Lord, that's me, because you're in me. I know you're in me, because I remember over here it said over in Ephesians that I'm born again and you're living me, and so I'm a new creation. So therefore, Lord, see, you got to go find those places where it's written about you. You got to be able to be like Jesus, and he turned to the place where it's written of him. And then he started reading it. And he says, verse 18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because, everybody say because. You see, so many times people get crazy in their thinking because they're thinking that God is moving in the world because of them. But I'm telling you, it's not about you, it's about them. It's not about you, it's about everybody else you're going to come across in life. Hear me now. It's not about you, it's about everybody else you're going to come across in life. Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because. In other words, the Holy Ghost came on Jesus. The Spirit of God was upon Jesus for a purpose, for a reason. Right? And then he tells us what the reason is. Because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book. He gave it back to the attendant who sat down, and all eyes are fixed upon him in the synagogue. And he began to say, and today the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Jesus said, I'm anointed of God. The Spirit of God is upon me for a reason. And the reason is that I'm supposed to go tell people about the good news. I'm supposed to go set people free. Listen to me. I want y'all to understand that right here, this is written about you. You say, oh, God didn't call me to be a preacher. No, I'm not talking about preacher and full-time ministry. I'm talking about as a priest, as a minister of God, you are, as human beings, all of us are, to the people that we come around. When you come around someone who's brokenhearted, they need to be healed. That's you. When you need somebody that needs to hear, they're a captive and they need to hear about the liberty that God has set you free from. That's you. When you find somebody that's blinded, whether they're blinded, truly blinded, or they're blinded, they just can't see the truth, right? It's your job. You're anointed. Listen to me. You can stand up and say, Lord, so-and-so has come across my path today. Any of you can pray this, all right? Lord, so-and-so has come across my path today, and I thank you that he's, because he came across my path today, I take that as a sign that I'm anointed to speak to him or her. And you can take full confidence and assurance to know the Spirit of God's with you. Are you with me? You say, Pastor, I don't know about this stuff. You're kind of freaking me out and scaring me here. Listen, folks, it's time to get going. This is you. Fiery, anointed, Holy Ghost filled men and women of God out there in the world that have an answer for people. The answer is Jesus. Oh, you're not the healer. Jesus is the healer. You just got to take them to Jesus. You got to introduce them to Jesus. You got to take them into the foot of Jesus. Say, here, this is who you need to talk to. Talk to him. Are y'all with me? Pressure's not on you other than to be the proclaimer, the announcer. That's all you are. You got to get them to Jesus, to the foot of Jesus. Now, let's just look at it for a second. You're going to want to hold your finger there. Go to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 11. It's talking about the devil here. Let's just read verse 10 so it all fits in. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of the brethren who has accused them before God day and night has been cast down. It's talking about the devil. Verse 11. And they, who's the they? All of us, right? Overcame him. Who's the him? The devil, right? The accuser of the brethren once been cast down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their what? The word of their what? What is it? The word of their what? Oh, your testimony overcomes and defeats the devil. Well, your testimony anointed by God overcomes and defeats the devil. And then what is your testimony?
Well, I don't think we're going to make it to tomorrow. By God, things look horrible. I don't know. I've been going to church all my life. It just seems like I just kicked around. There's nothing that's right. Nothing works. I don't know what it is. Is that your testimony? Well, I ain't going to get nothing to any victory anywhere.
Listen to me, church. You can just think I'm crazy all you want to, but listen to me. I would rather stand up in the face of adversity and say, yeah, I lost last time, but this time I'm going to win. Oh, yeah, you may seem like a defeat, but it wasn't a defeat because I got stronger and smarter the last time we fought. I saw that sucker punch. Now I'm ready for that sucker punch. See, you tried it right there. I got you then. Well, you ain't going to be messing with me. Oh, yeah, Getting smarter in life. Folks, listen to me. I've not won every battle, but I'm getting smarter all the time. And I'm still going to go into adversity. You know why? Because I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that He died on a cross for my sins, and I believe He rose from the dead, and I believe that He sits at the right hand of the throne of God. And because I believe that with all of my heart, I'm walking forward, bless God. I may not understand how everything works. I may not have everything perfect. I may not get everything lined up. It doesn't make any difference. This is what I believe in my heart, and I know it to be true, and so I go forward. Hello? And so therefore, it says, by the blood of the Lamb, that's Jesus, and the word of my testimony, I'm going to defeat the devil. So that means when I go to somebody and say, hey, listen, He'll set you free of that. That by saying that, by going to someone and saying, you know, guys, I hate to tell you, but I was in that situation too. It was horrible, and God got me out of it. And I'm still walking today, and I'm still alive today. And yeah, it hurt, and it was bad, but I'm alive, and God can take care of this situation. He can get you out. He can get everything going. You don't have to worry about anything. That defeats the enemy in that person's life. As you walk in this life, as you're going out there and saying in life, back over what Luke 4 said, that you preach the gospel to the poor, you've sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are oppressed. It's your testimony that's doing that. You do not have to have the answer for everything. You don't have to figure out where the dinosaurs came from. You don't have to do that. That's not your job. It's your testimony. Say, I don't know what happened. I don't know what went on, but I just know this. This I know. The blind man, remember the blind man that Jesus healed, and then they sent him back, and he said to him, he said, listen, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know, but all I do know is once I was blind and now I see. They said, well, you're like that blind man. He said, no, you idiots, I am the blind man. They said, oh, I don't know, he looks like the blind man. He said, I am the blind man. I was blind and now I see. He said, it's what you know. That's going to change the world. It's what's going on inside of you, your testimony, what your relationship is with God. If you have no relationship, if you're not going down the journey, then you don't have much of a testimony. Hello? But when you're on the road and you're starting to apply those three things we've been talking about into your life of who you are and what you worship and who you trust, then you're starting to walk down that road, then you're starting to develop your testimony. You're starting to build that testimony so that you have something to say. Hello? Folks, listen to me. When you read through the Bible, you know, a lot of times you get the impression that this is the way it was one day, and then you turn the page and that's the way it was the next day, but years have gone by. And you're not just going to, poof, get it going. Everything that's moving in the kingdom of God, it takes some time. The Bible says a day to the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. In other words, the time schedule's not really like we think time. Do you all realize what would happen? Just think about this. What would happen if you had no time? I'm talking about you didn't have a clock. You woke up in the morning at whatever time you woke up. You didn't have an alarm clock to wake you up. And then you worked as long as you wanted to work. And then you went home and you ate when you were hungry, not when it told you what time it was. You ever think about that? Have you ever just gone on a vacation and just put up everything and you just have a watch or clock, you don't have any telephone or anything like that, you know what time it was, and then just to go and you realize, at first you're panicked. Because we're a society that lives looking at that stupid clock. I hate it. I mean, we have to do it, but I hate it. Do you realize how different life would be if you weren't running based upon the time? You see, all I'm saying, church, is that there's things that we do in life that completely gets us off track of even on what we're going in, what we're supposed to be doing. Now, don't show up at your employer's late and then say, well, the preacher said we're not supposed to look at the clock no more. Don't do that. Heaven help me, Jesus. Doesn't start something here. Don't do that. But I want you to have an understanding of that. There's nothing in the timetable of God. He doesn't operate by your clock. And you prayed, and now suddenly you look up in your eyes, okay, did it happen? Because it doesn't work on that kind of a clock. It works on His clock. So you could go, you could be praying for something and almost ready to give up on it, and then in a year it happens. Right? It's your perseverance and your endurance in the gospel that gets you the experience you need and builds your testimony. It's the standing in the face of adversity and saying, I know what I believe, I know it's true, that gets you down the road to where you need to be. Now, I'm running out of time here, so I'm going to turn it up. I'm going to go fast now. See, I'm out of time. I want you to go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. Isaiah 61. That's what Jesus read. When they unrolled the scroll of Isaiah that they had there, he found chapter 61. Of course, it wasn't chapters then. It wasn't chapter and verse. It was all just written out. But he found the place where it was written. So he went through it. And that's where he stopped. It would have been chapter 61. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor of the tidings. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening of the prisons to those who are bound, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the plantings of the Lord, that He may be, 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 He may be, that He may be. Y'all with me? That He may be glorified? Huh? I'm going to read that again. That they may be called trees of righteousness, the plantings of the Lord, that He may be glorified, that God may be glorified. Turn to the person beside you, look at him and say, hello, tree. He wants you to be a tree of righteousness. He wants you to be the planting of the Lord and a tree of righteousness, planted and rooted down strong. Deep roots, planted in righteousness. You know what you believe. And when you do that, you then bring Him glory. Church, if you want to please God, just do what I'm talking about. If you want to know if you're pleasing to God, just be on this journey of life and then share your testimony whenever it comes up. Tell people, hey, I don't know, but this is what I know. I don't know what you're doing, but this is what I know. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Can I just pray for you? People say, well, you're crazy. I am crazy for Jesus. I have an answer for everything. It's Jesus. Hello? And then you're on that journey. Your tree. I guess your little roots are walking. On your journey. Right? And then you're bringing glory to God. I had something the other day that really encouraged me, because a person told me that they were out working on a job and they met this person, and the person, they started to talk about Jesus, and he asked him where he went to church. He said he went to church here, and he said, "Oh yeah, I met that preacher years ago." And he said he really helped me in life and got me on the right track, and I listened to him on the radio and a lot, and now I've got a ministry to street people out to drug addicts and stuff in the streets. And so he was telling me, this person was telling me, and I was like, "Who now?" And so he's explaining all this to me, and I could not recall the person. And then I kept thinking, I thought about it, and I thought, you know, I do remember that person. He was doing some construction, and I was there, and we had some conversations. But I'm talking, we didn't have any deep conversations. Had some conversations, person, just, you know, and about walking with Jesus and just general kind of stuff and whatever. And then to find out that this person went on and did that, it just showed me how God can take the little things, the seeds that you plant in life, in a person's life, and then that person won't just dig it up and kill it, that it'll grow and it'll take root in their lives and it'll make great things happen. I had no idea. No idea. And all I'm saying, church, is we just got to be aware of this. Because it's not about you, it's about them. And you're going to help them in life with your testimony and what you've seen God do. Amen? Amen. Well, stand to your feet if you would. Can I have my prayer team come down for today, pastoral team? Now, church, listen to me. This great, great news of Jesus, it's got to be proclaimed everywhere. This great and glorious news of Jesus has got to be proclaimed everywhere. You're His voice, you're His mouthpiece, you're His testimony out there in the world. But listen, you can't start off anywhere in life if you've never met Jesus. If you're here today or you're watching by video or you're listening by on the radio and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't know today that if you died, you'd go to heaven. You don't know that if you were to meet your Maker, you're ready. Well, then I want to tell you, the Bible's real simple. Every promise of God has a condition with it. The condition for salvation is simply not that you be cleaned up, not that you do everything right. The condition is that you will confess with your mouth and you will believe in your heart in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You believe that He's the Son of God, that He died for you. Your part's the confessing and the believing. Then He just makes everything else happen. But if you're in here today and you're not sure that if you died you'd go to heaven, you're not sure you're right with God, well, then I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you that are out there listening on video, radio. I want to give you an opportunity to meet this great man named Jesus. So if you would here, just bow your heads for just a minute. Give everybody a little privacy around you. And if you don't know Jesus and today's your day and you want to meet Him for the very first time and you want to pray and ask Him to come into your heart, well, just lift up your hand and say, "Yeah, Pastor, that's me. I want to confess Jesus today as my Lord and Savior." Just lift up your hand and say, "Yeah, that's me, Pastor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I see that hand." Anyone else? Today's your day. You want to meet Jesus for the very first time? Well, church, pray this with me. Those of you that are watching by video, listen, pray this with me right there in your homes. Say, "Jesus, today I make you the Lord of my life. I ask you to come into my heart, to forgive me of my sins, to wash me in your blood, and forgive me. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died for me. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me eternal life." Amen. Now, church, listen, we're here to pray with you. We've got our prayer team up here today. If you've got anything going on in life and you need prayer, well, we're here to pray with you and believe with you. So I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to dismiss the service, but do not leave. If you need prayer, come on down, and we're all going to just pray for you. So grab that person's hand beside you, and let's pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I declare that we're going to walk out these doors. We're going to go out into this world and all this week. Every person we run across, everybody that comes across, Lord, we're going to know that we're going to overcome them. Lord, we're going to go out and we're going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we're going to tell them that, Lord. We're going to have a testimony this week to tell people and to encourage people. So, Lord, I just pray right now. Bless them. Let our eyes be open. Let us not miss an opportunity, Lord. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you, church. Go get them.